Sponsorship for Marketing Voices is provided by Intel, the world leader in silicon innovation, and WebEx, the global leader in on-demand collaborative applications.
This is Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of industry leaders and examining the impact of social media on marketing.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and welcome to Marketing Voices. Today I have Katie Delahaye-Payne with me, who's CEO of a company called Katie Payne & Partners, which is a social media measurement company. And Katie is literally the person that everybody told me I should be talking to here on Marketing Voices to talk about how to measure social media. So, Katie, thank you very much for joining me on Marketing Voices.
You're very welcome. I'm very pleased to be here.
And Katie is also a publisher of Measurement Standard, and she's got a new book coming out in November. She will be telling us where we can find the first sort of cut at the book, the first chapters of the book here at the end of the podcast. But first of all, Katie, what is the best way to measure the outcome of social media?
Well, I think it depends entirely, as I say, what outcome were you looking for when you started? The first question that you have to answer is, are you measuring the outcomes from your own blogging efforts or from other people's blogging and its impact on your reputation? And that's the first thing that everybody gets all tied up in knots about is the fact that if you're measuring your own blogging efforts, then those measures of success have to be tied back to whatever your organizational objectives are. So if it's, if you're an insurance company like State Farm or Allstate and you've got a blog up there, you want renewals and you want more business. But if you're the ASPCA, you want membership. If you're, you're in nonprofit, you might be, doing advocacy. So it really depends upon what objectives you've set for the, and assuming that you have set measurable ones, for the blog. Now, on the reputation side, in terms of what other people are saying in the blogosphere about you, there are a variety of ways. But the bottom line is that, again, it's got to tie back to your organizational objective. So if you're tracking what everybody's saying about you and that's having an impact on your stock price or on your downloads, if you're a university, are you getting more applications or fewer applications? If you're a charitable organization, are you getting, more membership and more donations or fewer? And obviously, if you're Procter & Gamble, are you selling more shampoo? I mean, they know what most organizations know what moves the needle because they have other kinds of research there. What you need to do is tie those other needle movements back to your social media program.
So in terms of, it's obviously really addresses then this whole idea that a lot of people look at social media as one audience and don't really segment out the audiences the way you do in sort of normal public relations. And so how do you sort of work with, your clients when you're talking about how they need to be thinking about their audience?
Well, the first thing I try to get across to them, and as I think everybody in social media does, is, eyeballs don't count. It's reaching the right eyeballs, and it's not bombarding those eyeballs. It's having a conversation with the brains behind that eyeball and to say, okay, if I engage you, do you become more involved in my mission here? And whether that mission is to, sell more widgets or save more puppies, it doesn't matter. But, for example, ASPCA knows that if they get one additional person to sign up as a member to their organization, over the course of a lifetime, that can be worth up to $75,000 to the organization. So that piece of data is there. Now what they have to do is to go back and say, I need to hit, X number of people who are inclined to, support puppies and kitties and all the other things that are going on in the organization. That data already exists somewhere else in your organization. For ASPCA, it resides in the development department. For most organizations, it'll reside in the marketing organization. So when you know what the target audience is you're going to find, then you measure that audience and that response from that audience, not let's, get into a big debate about how we count eyeballs.
Okay, so what low-cost measurement tools are out there that you actually use? You talk quite a bit about that in your materials, and so give the audience some sense of what they can do to go measure.
Well, the the big, you know, without saying, you know, well, you can buy ours for $300 a month, but we advocate a baby step approach always. So, you know, do it yourself is, you know, what we call our product, but it's also start out with some kind of basic monitoring, whether it's a Google News search or an Ice Rocket search or something. So you start out monitoring your own stuff and analyzing it for content and, you know, keeping track of it in an Excel spreadsheet. And, you know, so far you haven't spent a dime. The next level up from that is probably to hire somebody like BuzzLogic or Custom Scoop or Cyber Alert or something like that to actually start compiling and gathering any information that's going on about you in social media and having it automatically delivered to your desktop. Then there are things like Compete, and they give you rankings and information about you versus the competition, and they do it for free, or they can do a report for you for, I believe, $2 a report. So there's lots of low-cost solutions out there, low-cost and frequently free solutions out there. I think BuzzLogic is $10,000 a year. So, you know, for some people that might be expensive, but compared to the, you know, $20,000 and $30,000 and $50,000 rates you can get from, you know, you can get into very quickly in terms of real analysis, there's a big spread there.
So what are the challenges that people really get into when they're trying to measure social media? What do you hear when you're talking to people about the worst complaints they have?
Well, the biggest problem is the volume. And if I subscribe to, you know, Factiva or somebody and get a feed of my mainstream news or my traditional news media, 90% of all the stuff they send me will be relevant to my company. It's exactly the opposite in social media. 80% will be irrelevant to the topic at hand. So if you're setting up, if you just literally go in and do a Technorati search, you're going to come on something, you know, on your own company or your competitor or whatever. You're very likely to come up with, you know, 10,000 hits, of which 100 are relevant to what you're really looking for. So that's the biggest frustration. Then the second biggest frustration is, okay, now I'm still looking at 1,000 postings about me. How do I know which ones are important, relevant, et cetera? And the answer to that is that you really have to go in there and see how often they've posted about it to how, you know, you really actually have to do the work to say, okay, do they mention us frequently? Do they mention us only once in passing? Is this a topic that they're constantly referring to in the blog, or is this something that really is just, you know, my classic example is Shel Israel says that the most frequently read posting that he's ever done is, you know, which washing machine he bought. Now, you know, if I sell Maytags, do I want to target Shel Israel? No, because he's only written about me once. He may be very, very influential, but he's only written about washing machines once, and he's probably only going to write about washing machines once. So sorting through what's relevant and what's irrelevant is the big challenge that we all have.
So what do you think the future looks like for a lot of these PR professionals? I mean, assuming that a lot of them adopt what you're talking about as the beginning, at least, to measure, what's next?
Well, the biggest challenge is that everything is evolving so quickly. I just did a panel discussion up here at the Measurement Summit this past week, and Don McClagan at Compete basically said, you know, the reality is that the sites that we think are important today may or may not be important 3 months from now. And the stuff that was, I mean, a year ago we were all scratching our head trying to figure out how to rate MySpace, and now it's Facebook, and, you know, it was, you know, now it's YouTube, and who knows what's going to be next. I mean, or is it all going to revolve around Facebook, or are there going to be a million different little private networks, and how do we break into those networks, and how do we measured within those networks? Beats the heck out of me.
Yeah. Well, that makes two of us. So that's why I do this show, and I learn a lot, and I have people like you on it to at least be soothsayers. So, Katie, I want to say thank you very much for being on Marketing Voices here, and I really want to ensure that you get a chance to tell people how to get a hold of your download for your in a sense, what I call first chapter of your book, and then talk about your book for a couple seconds.
That'd be great. But, yeah, the book is called Measuring Success. Actually, measuring, we changed the name of it. It's Measuring Your Public Relationships. And it is available if you go to www.kdpaine.blogs.com/bookblog. And it, the entire book is available for download, and it's in its final editing phase there. So feel free, if you find typos, send them to me. Please send me your reviews and comments and anything else you'd like to see. Because, again, I think that, you know, the joy of social media is that it's a live thing. It's not a book that you print and put on a shelf. I really hope to have this be an ongoing conversation.
Great. Well, thank you, Katie. Again, I've been talking to Katie Delahaye Payne, who's CEO of a firm called Katie Payne & Partners, which is a social media measurement company. To all my listeners, until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.